Would you pray with me? Gracious and loving Father in heaven, we rejoice to have this privilege and opportunity to worship Thee. Father, that is our heart's desire, that we might be able to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. But Father, we know that without the leadership of Thy Holy Spirit, that all our efforts would be in vain. So Father, bless us that we might feel the power of the Spirit and follow His leadership this day. Father, again, we offer petitions for those who are in need at this hour. There are many of our church body and friends that have needs, both material and spiritual. But Father, You can supply every need, and we do pray that You touch each life. We pray again for this body of believers and pray that we might be strengthened to serve Thee better in days to come. And grant, Father, that we would be a light in this dark world until our Savior comes again to take us home. And Father, we do anticipate that great day. But as we wait His coming, Heavenly Father, help us to serve and to honor and to glorify His name. I pray, Father, that You'd bless me to preach the gospel at this time. Bless each one of us to hear and to understand. And help us, Father, that we might serve Thee better in days to come. Forgive us our sins, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we were singing this morning, Sister Becky called the hymn 175, Open My Eyes, and I thought that'd be a good one to open the service and fit my message very well. But then when she called the opening hymn, I Need Thee Every Hour, I thought that's very appropriate. Because I do feel a great need for the Lord's blessing every day, but especially at times like this as we seek to worship Him. But it is my prayer as well that the Lord would open our eyes that we might see. And that's kind of my subject, is opening blind eyes. And I want to speak to you from the Gospel of Mark in the 10th chapter, reading verses 46 through 52. And you'll, I'm sure, be familiar with the subject of this passage of Scripture, a man, the Bible name, Blind Bartimaeus. But I contend that he might not be as blind as we think. Read with me in Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse 46. They came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Now I'm sure that you've heard many sermons about blind Bartimaeus. And you've heard many sermons because it's an important subject. There's many lessons here that I believe we need to see. And I understand that Bartimaeus here is somewhat a typical figure. According to Scripture, there was a real man there, and his name was Bartimaeus. He was blind. He could not see with his natural eyes. And Jesus gave him sight. But I believe Bartimaeus represents some of God's children who are spiritually blind and need that same interaction with Jesus Christ in order to receive that spiritual sight. Now, let me just make this distinction before we begin our study. This man, as I said, was naturally blind. His natural eyes could not see. But the Bible, I think, uses the idea of blindness in really at least three different ways. That's natural blindness, but there is what I call a judicial blindness. And that is where God blinds the eyes of some, as he did those many of those Jews in Jesus' day. Jesus had given them the law, had given them teachers, had given them prophets, and they simply refused to see what God was teaching them. That law of Moses was intended to make them see and anticipate the coming of the Savior. But they saw the law itself as a means of salvation. They didn't see what God was showing them. They just believed that if they just keep that law, then finally they'd go to heaven. And because they refused to see and to hear, God put a blindness on them as judgment. And there were some, when Jesus came, they could not see because of that judgment. And there is another form of spiritual blindness. There are some blind who just won't see for whatever reason. I was thinking of those two disciples after the crucifixion of Jesus. They were going on the road to Emmaus. And they were walking along, and Jesus joined them and walked beside them. And they may have seen a form. They may have seen a man. I don't know what they did see, but they didn't see that it was Jesus walking beside them. Now, my theory is, the Bible tells us that they were going to Emmaus in the evening, and that Emmaus lies west of Jerusalem, so they were walking towards the setting sun. They had the sun in their face. And as I walk with the sun in my face, I look down to the ground. So I believe Jesus walked beside them and they never looked up. That sun had kind of blinded them. They had their eyes down and they didn't see. They had some natural sight. They probably had some spiritual understanding, but they simply wouldn't look. If we read the context of Mark chapter 10 and the events that take place, one of the things is, if you go back in the beginning about verse 13, they talk about bringing the little children to Jesus. And the disciples rebuked them and didn't want them to bring the little children. But Jesus had told them to suffer the little children to come unto me. And he said, for such is the kingdom of God. And he said in verse 15, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall not enter therein. Now, a little later on, and going out of Jericho and in this journey that they've made, Jesus has told the disciples that he's going up to Jerusalem and he's going to suffer there. He's going to die. And what did those disciples do? James and John came to him and said, Lord, grant us a petition. Grant that one of us sit on your right hand and one on your left when you come into your kingdom. Jesus has said you've got to receive the kingdom as a little child, and they said, we want to be the leaders. We want to be right there next to you. Elevate us and lift us up. You see, they had some spiritual blindness themselves. So there's a contrast here. Even though they had walked so closely with Jesus, there was still a degree of spiritual blindness in those disciples. And then they encounter this man, Bartimaeus. Now, I've stressed many times that Bible names have meanings, and meanings are important. And you can look at different dictionaries, and they might give you a slightly different meaning of this name. And I found three different meanings, but they're all closely related. One of them says that Bartimaeus means admirable. Another says it means honorable. And another one says that it means valuable. So here's one I believe that was valuable in God's sight. And God saw him as being admirable and honorable. And yet he was a blind beggar. Men did not see any value in him. Men did not see any honor in him. In fact, men just wanted him to be quiet so we can pass by and not have to deal with him. But he heard that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by, and he began to cry out to him. Now, I have many times told you that I don't want to read anything in the Scripture that is not there. And all that it tells us is that he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. But I can imagine that as Bartimaeus sat there begging day by day, he was hearing conversation of the people that were passing by. And I just imagine that he had heard something about Jesus. Now, keep in mind, I'm telling you my opinion. I think this is a possibility that he heard something. But he's still blind. Hearing about Jesus didn't open his eyes, did it? But he began to cry out, and I want you to notice that he cried out, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, the first point I want to make is when he called Jesus the Son of David, that was the common title given by the Jews to their Messiah. They were longing for the coming of that Son of David, the one who would sit on the throne of David. And, of course, they had a wrong view of the kingdom. But Bartimaeus is recognizing Jesus as being Christ, God's anointed one, the one that God had sent to rule in the kingdom. And then he cries for mercy. He's just a beggar. He had nothing to offer but himself. He couldn't... Have you noticed advertising today on television how many times they tell you to get what you deserve? You deserve this, so spend your money to buy it, is what they're saying. But notice how many commercials say you deserve it. But Bartimaeus said, "I don't deserve anything, but I want mercy. Have mercy on me." So even though he did not have natural sight, I believe he had some spiritual insight. He recognized that he had nothing, he deserved nothing, but he recognized that there was one who could fill his need and one who by mercy was willing to fill his need. So he had some vision, didn't he? Now, in the book of Proverbs, in the 29th chapter, verse 18, there's a passage I'm sure you've probably heard many times. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18, it says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he." Vision there really has to do with revelation. Where God is not revealing himself, the people perish. So when God reveals himself, there's got to be some spiritual insight to see God revealing himself. Now, in either case, if God is not revealing himself and his power, the people are going to perish. But if God reveals himself and the people don't have vision to see, the people are going to perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he, and I believe that implies that God has revealed himself in the law, or in his word, that revealed word. In Hebrews chapter 1, beginning at the first verse, notice these words. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. And that simply means in the past, in different ways, at different times, God spoke by the prophets. Sometimes he gave those prophets dreams, and they told the dreams. Sometimes he spoke to them in a voice that they could hear, and they relayed that message to the people. So different ways God has communicated. But verse 2 says, he hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. God is not speaking through those mediators, through the prophets, but he has spoken to us by his Son, Jesus Christ, the creator of all things. You won't get a greater revelation than that. You won't see anything any clearer than what Jesus Christ has told us. And we have the record of that in the written word, and we have the Holy Spirit opening the scriptures to us and opening our hearts and opening our understanding. He makes available to us spiritual vision. Verse 3 says, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. So God has revealed to us through Jesus Christ. Now, do we have the vision to see? I won't turn and read the passage from Psalms. Psalms 4, David cries out, hear me, Lord, when I pray. Bartimaeus wanted to be heard. He wanted Jesus to hear his prayers and his petitions. And he cried out, but men told him to be quiet. I'm going to tell you today that we need to be crying out to Jesus and saying, hear our prayers. We want to see. We want to see your will for our lives. We want to be where you would have us to be. Hear our prayers, O Lord, and open our eyes. I believe, I'm going to narrow it down, I believe this is true for people identifying as Christians today, but I know Primitive Baptist people, and we're blind to our situation. We must be. I see churches declining. I see churches closing their door. I see a spiritual weakness where we don't have any influence even over our own families. We don't have a witness of Jesus Christ in our life, and we seem unconcerned. We can't see just how bad the situation is, and we need to cry to Jesus. Hear our cry and open our eyes and let us see. But you know, it has to start with me. I have to say, Lord, show me the things that I need to be seeing today. But when you start crying out to the Lord to hear me, people are going to tell you to be quiet. Don't upset things. We don't do it that way. We've always done it this way. We're satisfied right where we are. You just be quiet. Look at what Isaiah said about that matter in the book of Isaiah in the 62nd chapter. Isaiah chapter 62, beginning at the first verse. For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. Isaiah said, for Zion's sake, for the sake of the church, for Jerusalem's sake, for the sake of God's people and God's name and God's glory, it's not about me, and it's not about you, but it's about God and His glory. And for Zion's sake, I'm not going to be quiet. And the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and the kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. Thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of my God. He's talking about Zion and Jerusalem. He's talking about the church, despised in our society, and even despised among many people who claim to be Christians. They say the church is not relevant anymore. It has no meaning anymore. But for Zion's sake, I will hold my peace. Thou shalt no more become forsaken, neither shall thy land any more become desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah, for the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. For as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee, and as a bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. Let's examine ourselves this morning. Do you think God is rejoicing over this body of believers and our witness and our testimony of God? God loves His people. God will always love His people. We'll always be a peculiar treasure unto the Lord. But He doesn't always delight in the things that we do. And He doesn't always rejoice over our actions. And if we don't feel like the Lord is rejoicing over us, then we need our eyes open and we need to cry out to Jesus to have mercy upon us. The Bible tells us that when Bartimaeus refused to be quiet and Jesus heard him, we've begun a program of prayer, and I hope you're participating and I hope you're diligent in it. But we may not know immediately that God is hearing our prayers. I may not know in my lifetime that God has heard us. But for Zion's sake, I won't hold my peace. I'll keep on until Zion shines forth as God would have it to. But Jesus heard, and He called him. And they told him to be of good comfort, for He calls. When Jesus calls, take comfort that He's not forgotten us, He's not forsaken us. He still loves us and still has a purpose for us. But I want you to notice in Mark chapter 10 and verse 50. It speaks of Bartimaeus, and it says, he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Why do you suppose that he cast away his garment? And I think that's speaking about an outer coat or cloak that he had over. Well, don't you imagine that as a poor beggar, that thing is probably pretty ragged. And it may have been pretty dirty. And it may have hindered his progress to get to Jesus Christ. I think of that passage in Isaiah 64, and I'm not going to turn and read that. It says, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Anything that's about us is simply a filthy rag. It's got to be cast off. You know, I think we as God's people have acted pretty much like beggars. We have all the riches of heaven's glory, all the power of God in us, when we go through this world begging. And sometimes it's just because we refuse to change our ways. We don't want to do anything different. We're wearing a ragged, old, filthy garment that we won't take off. When Jesus called Bartimaeus, cast that thing off. Now, I've been praying for revival. I've been teaching about revival. I've been urging people to strive for revival. What's revival going to look like when it comes? Quite frankly, I don't know. God may do something that we can't imagine. God may lead us to a place we've never been before. But I'm going to tell you, we sit right here doing the same old things we've always done. We're not going to enjoy a revival. But when we cast off our garment and go to Jesus, notice, he came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And I pose that question to each one of us. What is our desire that Jesus does? Just keep a few little handful of believers here as long as I live. And then beyond that, you know, I'm not going to worry. I feel pretty sure I'm going to heaven. So as long as the church is here, as long as I'm here, I'll be satisfied. God help us if we ever have such an attitude. Are we praying that God will revive somebody else out there? Are we praying that everybody else gets revived and let me just be comfortable right where I am? I want Jesus to call me, and I'd love to hear somebody say, hey, Comfort, he's calling me. And go to him and he says, what wilt thou? What's your desire? And my desire is, Lord, that I'll be yours. Evidently and manifestly, I want to walk through this world so people say, there is God's child. I want to live in such a way that people say, I can see Jesus when I see you. That's a bold desire. And you may think that's a lofty and that might be a selfish desire. But I don't think so. I think that's what Jesus has called every one of us to be. The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. I want some spiritual sight so that I can see what's wrong with me. I want to see all the things that's right with Jesus Christ, all the things that's right with his church. I want to rejoice in it. But I believe Jesus' words to this blind man is, what do you want? And the implication is, I'll give you whatever you want. There are a number of passages in the Bible where Jesus says, anything you ask in prayer, you shall receive. Anything you ask believing, it's going to be yours. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. And Jesus said, what do you want? And of course, the blind man said, that I might receive my sight. Now notice verse 52. Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. And when Jesus said that, he was still a blind man. But he was a whole blind man. And immediately he received his sight. Because he believed in Jesus. Now, Jesus said, thy faith hath made thee whole. God gave him faith, and he exercised that faith. He believed in Jesus and the power and ability of Jesus and that made him whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. He became an immediate disciple of Jesus Christ. So many times we bargain with the Lord and say, if you'll just heal me, if you'll just give me what I want, then I'll be yours and I'll serve you. And as soon as he blesses us, we turn and go our own way. We need to be followers of Jesus Christ. Now let me close with one more passage in the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 5 and the first 5 verses. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. Now, let me pause there for just a minute. Everyone that believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. That is, they are begotten of God. So when he says, everyone that loveth him that begat, he's talking about God. He loveth him also that is begotten of God. That simply means if I'm born of God, I'm going to love everyone else that is born of God. By this, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Now, believing there is not simply having a mental assent to a fact. When the Bible talks about believing in Jesus Christ, it means putting your trust in Him and living your life based on trusting Him. And everyone that does that overcomes the world. Faith is a gift that God has given us and we're commanded to live by it. And I pray that we have the vision, the spiritual sight to see our duty and responsibility, but the power that we have to fulfill our duty to God. And that it won't seem like an obligation or a duty, but we'll serve Him out of love. May God grant that our eyes be opened, is my prayer for Christ's sake.